extend to all of you a very nice good morning greeting. I hope your arrival here and your rest in this new facility was peaceful and nourishing. We will speak a lot about nourishing ourselves within the next 1.5 days, so I hope you had a good start in it. I wanted to say that I'm very honored to be amongst you. I was very happy to see that this idea of giving time to the teachers of Avanti and not only informing them but nourishing them also, so that their very important role of teaching the young boys and girls will get help. I thought this was very nice that we have these retreats, and I was delighted to hear that you took the offer seriously and you came here. I should start by saying, by explaining my relationship to Nitesh. I actually got to know him in an unusual setting. And before coming here, I just remembered that we met on an island in Ireland. You could only reach this island by a ferry, and when we arrived at the island, we were greeted by the screams and calls of peacocks, believe it or not. There were many peacocks. In my memory, it's the Peacock Island. Nitesh was heading at that time a youth group, Pandava Sena, something which he oversees and advises even now. And I was invited there to come as a presenter of spiritual subject matters, mostly spiritual practice surrounding the singing of kirtan or spiritual songs. And we bonded. Then our lives took us in different directions. I didn't meet him for many years. I heard he had become a successful man in the corporate world. He had published a book, best-selling book, and I had followed my path as a monk and as a lecturer, international lecturer. Then we met again, and we found out that although our paths had taken us into different directions, we shared something in common, which was already there in our first meeting on the Peacock Island, and which we had developed each in our own ways in the following years after that. Nitesh had decided to give his time to the subject matter of education, and I had become very clear that that is also my inner calling. What type of education? What understanding of education? And as we talked, we saw that we had the same answer to this question. For us, education means to help bring out in people what is already there, but what may be blocked due to various circumstances. What is already there within each one of us is our essence, our nature, that which is always there matter what changes we undergo in our lives. It's our spiritual essence. So when he introduced me to his educational system for children who obviously need also an education which helps them to function in this world and find their place in this world, when he introduced me to this concept, which also has character formation in it and spiritual insights, I thought, wow, I'm all for the last two. I'm not so good in the first one. In fact, you have someone before you who your parents warned you, I'm a runaway from school. Yes. Doesn't mean I'm invited now in schools and in universities and have our own spiritual life school. But very young I had my problems with educational excellence, the way the material, our more or less materially informed society defines it. But character formation and spiritual insight, I think, is very, very important, and that is what I teach nowadays wherever I'm invited to speak. Good. This just as a short, revelation maybe, how Nitesh and myself met, what is our, the basis of his invitation to me. He said it in his words, and I wanted to say it in my words. Now I would like to open the retreat by introducing to you a very ancient concept which helps us, and also when we teach, which can help others to grow in their life in the various areas which form our identity. The Tree of Life module appears in the Vedic scriptures, where the human being is compared with a tree inside of which there is a very important nest. In this nest there is the self, the soul, and the supreme soul. They reside in the tree of the body and the nest of the heart. Very, it's an analogy. This tree of the body has, again, various dimensions. Like any other tree, normal tree which we find in the world, has roots, a trunk, and a crown. Our life is composed of these areas as well. The roots are our own roots, that which nourishes us, that which is often invisible in our lives. It's our spirituality, our essential nature, you could say. The trunk is, in this analogy, our physical existence, or more exact, our psycho-physical existence. It relates to our body and our minds. And the crown, which gives fruit, relates to our role as contributing members of society. It's our social function. So a well integrated person will have well-being in all these areas. His spiritual roots, his physical and emotional side. He will have a physical and emotional well-being, and he will not be a selfish egomaniac, but in some ways he will contribute to the well-being of others who surround him. Well-being cannot be had, or a holistic sense of well-being, when one of these areas is neglected. For instance, I've seen many people, and maybe you are one of them, who do a lot in the social field. You are teachers, you help others, healers, doctors, surgeons, try to do something for the well-being of others, social helpers. But if they don't take care that their own emotional well-being is there, or their spiritual well-being is there, then they will quickly, in English slang you would say, burn out. They will feel exhausted. They will feel a deep sense of meaninglessness. They will not feel meaningful in their life. They may be teaching, helping so many people, but inside they are totally undernourished, and their performance will eventually suffer tremendously. Or I have seen because I wanted to get rid of my cold, I went just 2 days ago into a sauna. And in the sauna I was sitting and sweating and saunaing away. And all of a sudden a bodybuilding man came next to me, and I welcomed him kindly. Here's enough place. You bring a lot of volume with you, but let us make place. And we sat next to each other, and we were sweating. And as we talked, it became clear that he was really working in the field of building up his body. It was impressive how he looked. Mr. Universe would become envious of him. But as our discussion progressed, he suffered from tremendous insecurities in his life, and he had not taken care of his self, really, only of his body, one aspect of his precious wild life. The other was neglected. I've given you a few, and I believe in the short time which we had before the, what is it called? The sand clock gave us the sign, better get out of here now, out of the sauna. In the short time, I gave him a little rundown of the tree of life and said, the body is one aspect, the physical well-being is one aspect, but don't neglect your emotions, your soul, relationships in the world, and most important, if you ask me, your spiritual well-being. And here is a web page, you can get more information and so on. And he smiled, he was radiant like the sun, and he said, I met a monk today, very good, this is the beginning of my tree of life. It's a very simple model. I think everyone very quickly understands in his mind. But the mind is only one aspect of our being. as I said, and I would like now everyone to get a feel for it, because ultimately this your tree of life will start to grow and become strong when you live it, not when you only understand it. I would like to give you a kinesthetic experience of the of this model. Is this an English word, first of all? It is. Good. I must say one thing. I have two assistants that I consistently understand that they don't understand what I say. It may be that I'm talking too poetically. It may be that I'm using, because I try to learn English, that I use words that they don't know. I found this out. I'm asking them often, and they have to look up in the dictionary, because I'm theoretically learning English. I'm speaking mostly in German. And the other is my terrible accent. So if I if I'm not clear, you have to tell me when it's an important point. Could you kindly repeat this in good English? Please don't feel shy. I have no false ego in regards to my abilities to speak English. It's not my mother tongue, but okay. So, I would really request, I would like you to now raise, stand up. The idea is that we want to really try to see what the tree of life can mean in my life. I also think this is a good way to make children understand what it is. So, as teachers, we have to understand people, and if you want them to understand something, it's not just intellectual or brainy understanding. They need to really feel it, especially if it's a model which refers to character formation and spiritual insights. They need to experience it on different levels. So, the ancient tradition, wisdom tradition of India, teaches that our identity can be, or our being can be compared to a tree. Let us now try to enter the understanding of this model. Stand, please, in a way that your feet are hips width apart from each other, like this. And just try to rest on your heel. You should have a feeling of your heel. Maybe you go a little back like this, then you will feel the heel. And then two parts of your front foot, that's where the big toe is, that the bottom of this, the base of the big toe, and the base of the small toe. Now please tense your calves and your thighs and your buttons so that you can stand a little bit stronger. Bring your shoulders a little up and then roll them down, which will open your chest. If you're ready, please close your eyes briefly and imagine from your base of your feet. Roots protruding or extending into the ground. It will help you if you again see if your muscles are contracting or tense. And now please stand tall. You can imagine a thread pulling you up. Your body is now a tree. It has roots. The trunk of the tree is from your legs upwards to your shoulder. And now, in a gentle move, respecting your neighbors next to you, please bring your arms up. Please look at me so that you know how the palms are facing upward, like this. Wonderful. Just like a tree has roots, you also have roots which nourish you. It is your spiritual roots which reach down to infinity. Just like a tree has a trunk, you have a body and emotions, feelings. And just like a tree gives fruits, you are also contributing to society. Please now gently move your arms down. And slowly come out of the tree position and take your seats again. This is the idea of the Tree of Life. We brought a little image with you. By the way, it's normal. We will do some meditations. When you do things like this, which take us from the mind, it seems it releases already inner tensions, and one starts to cough because one is physically and mentally, as far as one's programming is concerned, in a different space. I would like to now after introducing you just very briefly to what we mean with the Tree of Life. It's an analogy, really. I want to go through the different areas, starting with the roots, so that you will know. My thought is first for yourself, to understand it yourself, what nourishing the roots could mean for you. Then I think it will be possible for you to give spiritual insights within your teaching as you go through the courses which you teach something will come from you which the children will pick up, something which is more or less invisible, but which shows them that yes, our teacher is a well integrated personality, and they will learn. So much of what we teach is not coming through our words, but through our being. There's this saying that I cannot hear what you say to me because what you are speaks so loud to me that it oversounds, or it's louder than what you speak to me. So spiritual insights have really a lot, or you can give spiritual insights when your spiritual roots are strong. I had an interesting experience of this in the Brussels, in the airport of Brussels. I came from a singing event, spiritual songs in Belgium, and wanted to take an airplane to London Heathrow, and I went through the airport, and there was a group of airport people. Two had a gun, a machine gun, because of the increased security, and the others were working for airlines maybe, and I was looking for a bathroom. So I came along the corridor, the big corridor, and they saw me and they stopped me. And because of the machine guns, I thought maybe they think I'm a terrorist. They had another agenda. They said, "You look so happy. What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to the bathroom." "Can we please talk afterwards? I'm really I need to take care of one aspect of my being now." And I was thinking to myself that I'm now taking care of the trunk of the tree of life. So when I came back, I told them that I am generally meditating, and at this moment when they saw me, I was singing inside of me sacred songs, and it made me maybe happy. Maybe that's what they saw. And I said, "See, I will be going to England, and I have various lectures, and two days I will be with teachers and present to them this model of the tree of life, and and I told them what I told you, and then they asked, "Very good, how can I take care of my roots, of my spiritual roots?" And I said that I can't invite you to the sessions which I give in England because it's a closed group, it's only for the teachers of the Avanti schools, but I gave them a web page, and you can learn more. In half a year, because then I will publish this in a big way. But what I could see is that they immediately understood it, and they understood it maybe, I can't say I'm a very good example, but maybe because I was practicing it. Maybe it was something which I did in my own life well, at least at that moment I was, and it awakened their curiosity to an extent that they were willing to go deeper into the spiritual aspect. Maybe it was a neglected part of their being. What I want to get at is the roots, just like any roots, are not visible, but we can see it nevertheless. A tree who has neglected roots looks crippled. A tree which has got roots, strong roots, wow, you just want to stay under the tree, it's so attractive. And so on. So in this first session, I will guide you into an understanding of the, how to take care of the roots. I will be just a very, very, very a little bit of the session will be theoretical, and then we will go into a wonderful meditation. I have to check, you know, all. Yeah, you look awake. that's important for our meditation. When we speak of spirituality, when we want to either obtain spiritual insight or teach spiritual insight, it is very important for us to note that we are speaking about something which is inside of us. It is not outside. Our own spirituality and that of others is something which is innate, inherent. But if it is not nourished, it remains dormant. Spirituality exists in one part of our being, which many of us feel but don't know to assess. It is the spiritual heart. We all know, we all have a material heart, the pump which pumps the blood through our veins. It's a very strong muscle. And by the way, the most dreaded disease of modern times, cancer, cannot get to our heart. It can capture everything else, all organs, but not the heart, because the heart is the strongest organ which we have. I have at the moment not the time to speak about what your heart does within one day, how many liters of blood it just moves. How it is the strongest muscle which never ever rests up to the end of your life here on this planet. But there is an even more stronger heart than the pump. It's your emotional heart. When that is breaking, all your life is difficult. The emotional heart, when it is strong, it is so, it can overlook every other external circumstance. You feel as happy as that beggar in Mumbai whom I met and asked him, what do you need? He says, much. I'm very happy. And he looked so happy that I stopped my car to ask him for his secret. And he said, for secret, I'm just happy. By not focusing on what I don't have, but by focusing on what I have. And I have friends, I have a wonderful wife, and so on. Wow. need a few paisas. They are quickly coming. I just need to put my head like this, and God gives what I need. Emotional heart, positiveness, happiness, equipoise, the ability to tolerate and to forgive, compassion for others, all love, romance. Let's be practical for the modern man or woman. All this is in the emotional heart. Very important place. When someone says, "Oh, in Italy at least, I've fallen in love," they don't go like this. They go, touch their hearts, indicating it's here where this part of my life is. Even stronger than the physical and emotional heart is the spiritual heart. And I can best tell you about the spiritual heart by reading a little poem to you. There is a space in your heart, a space where everything meets. Come there if you want to find me. The me is with a capital M. God, mind, soul, and eternity, all are there in that sacred space. Are you? Enter the space of vastness in the heart. Listen to the song which resonates there. Give yourself to it with abandon. You will find quiet ecstasy and a steady, regular sense of resting in the perfect place. You, who are the embodiment of the highest blessings, once you know the way, you will always be called to return. Answer that call again and again, and be satisfied with knowing, I belong here. I am at home. The day before yesterday, I was invited into one of the universities in London, and talked about the sacred space in the heart. And I wanted to be very clear, because there were young people, some of them restless with the energy of youth. And I said, this is not something which is coming only in one spiritual tradition, the Vedic tradition. You can find it everywhere. Everyone talks about it. In modern terms, you say, be in your balance. Or be in, at least in Germany, be in your midst. No? Then center yourself, say. And the yoga traditions, which are now becoming mainstream in the West, one speaks of the yoga zone, to be connected with a place inside, from where you make effortless efforts. In other words, your yoga exercises seem to be energized. Yes, you're moving and some sweat may come in the body, but look, there's another energy supplying you. In psychology, you would speak like Viktor Frankl. He's not so known in England, I found out. He's one of the famous students of Sigmund Freud, Jung, Reich, or was it Adler, and Frankl. And he said something very useful for our lives, which we will refer to in our session on emotional well-being. He said between impulse, that is what the things which come, which life throws at you, and reaction, there's a space. It is in this space where all our human freedom lies. In other words, a developed person can choose his reaction. He will not be impulse driven. Something comes at him and immediately he responds. No, he will say, what's the best thing to do now? And use this space, this gap between an impulse and his reaction to make his life wonderful, to come to wise decisions and act from this. Christian tradition, Buddhistic traditions, all the meditational traditions all know that the journey, or in comparison to the journey inside, then what lies in front of you at the outside or back in the past is not of a trifling matter. The journey inside is a very, very is bound to give you the true treasures of life, because it's here where your essential nature is. My dear people, my dear friends and my dear doctors, this is a journey for which many, many people have given everything of their life, and they have not regretted even 1 meter of this journey. It is a journey which you can do, I've written down a few things, by meditation. You can do this journey to your sacred space by reading and contemplating about sacred texts. You can do this by chanting mantras, which we will do. But a very easy way is to just have good, spiritually uplifting association. All of a sudden you feel, as you are in this association, something begins to move, and a forgotten voice raises softly but at the same time very audibly its volume, its voice. So I would like to guide you now into a little meditation which will help you to access this sacred space within you. May I just ask in between, can you hear, because I'm a little insecure this morning, my two assistants didn't understand what I said, and I thought, my God, I got a minority complex, and so on. Is it clear? What, good. Oh, thank you. I need some encouragement. Because, see, these are concepts which are so important that the clear transmission of them is something to which I have given my life, and therefore it's very important. Do you have any questions regarding the sacred space? in which we want to access now the spiritual heart. This is something which is quickly there, which needs to be clarified in order to proceed. It is pretty plain, isn't it? It is, we all know there is an insight. I sometimes tell my audience, it's not an educated audience like this, because I'm everywhere. I sometimes ask, how much do you actually see of Satchidananda Swami? What do you mean? Everything. You are there with your esoteric dress and so on. Really, do you think you see me? Then I start, I say, most of what I am is not visible. You see 0.2% of me. My world, my concepts, my aspirations, my past, my future, my deepest yearnings, which inform almost every aspect of my life, is invisible to you. And more invisible is my soul, how it is a part of God, how it yearns to rest in His loving arms, and sometimes is allowed to touch something of Him. That is invisible. Yet it is the major part of my being. And therefore, character formation, which refers to what is going on inside of a person, and then spiritual insight, is so absolutely important. If you take this away from a person, it's cutting his roots. You are the whole person. Pain will fall on the ground and wither and dry. Good. So we will now want to access this inner space. It's a little journey. It will be very hopefully fascinating. At least I'm highly curious how you will be, what will be your experiences. By the way, all experiences on this journey are good, because it is a journey which will also sometimes show us where we are in our own development. And that is good. I have a few assistants here for this, and I need to set them up. Please, you are there, and you, I have to remind you to not meditate, because we have to be in communication. Do we have a mridanga player? Please pick up the mridanga. We will at one time start chanting. This is, by the way, not for you to hear. Then you need to go to all the machines. You cannot get up and move. Can you operate what you... Because we will need a text from there. Because we will need... Please, can I ask one of the assistants to maybe watch that everything is peaceful, not that all of a sudden a stray dog enters here and starts to bark and disturbs the whole thing. I have seen many things in my life, and want to be sure. What I mean is something unexpected which disturbs us. My example, maybe a little bit out of... Good. Can I now request everyone to find you're sitting comfortably. Is there something which needs to be changed in your sitting arrangement? We will now all do a little spiritual awareness meditation. By the way, you will find the important steps in the accompanying booklet, which we have printed for you. You will easily find it in the first sessions under Roots. We will not read it now, but we will. It's just for your later reference in case you want to do it. The essence of this meditation is to detach us from our thinking mind with its habits. It's 52,000 thoughts a day, of which most are repetitive. If we want to get out of this pattern, and to shift into a spiritual perspective, which can be best explained with one more word. The uninvolved, neutral observer position. That's four words. So we want to be, want to observe our life from a position where we are not reacting, impulse driven. Meditation will connect us with our essential nature, spiritual nature, which is eternal. It is full of spiritual knowledge, we could say spiritual insight, and it is also full of bliss, we would have to say. Bliss meaning it's a little bit, it's more than just happiness or contentment. It's something which is almost of a vibrant and overflowing, at times totally occupying nature. It occupies everything. So this is our spiritual nature, traditionally expressed, Satchit and Ananda, eternal being, spiritual knowledge and Ananda. So during this time I will request you to not take notes or so on. Therefore I've given this meditation in a printed form so that everything is there for you in case you want to refer back to it. It's not infectious. I'm over it. Don't fear me, please. I will just need to drink one glass of this water that the voice is tolerable. Please sit tall. It will help you also to roll back your shoulders because that opens the chest and then your breathing will be better and you will have more oxygen. Focus your attention, please, on the present moment. Start by noticing your environment, the hall, chandeliers, neighbors. I will soon request you to close your eyes, so it gives us a feeling of security when we really know, yes, it's a safe, cultured environment. Be aware of the time of the day, be in the morning. Are there any sounds in the room? just arrive in the presence. This is helpful because most of the times we are in our self-constructed worlds. When you are ready, please close your eyes and just relax into the atmosphere. It will be a beautiful experience. It will unclutter the mind for sure. Now bring your attention to your breathing. Observe how you inhale and observe your exhale. When you breathe in a healthy way on an inhale, your belly will rise a little and so will your chest. Really relaxed breathing, not forced breathing, that's important, just relaxed breathing. In and out. Your life is now very simple. You just need to observe your breath, your precious life-giving breath. Stay with your breath. We will be relaxed but incredibly aware. First, become aware where your clothing touches your body. You might feel your shirt at the elbows. Where else? You are different from this dress which you wear today. Now become aware of your body. Try to understand what goes on in your body. Do you feel relaxed? Are there maybe tensions in some of your muscles? A painful spot? Do you feel warm or cold or in between? Just slightly observe without judging any of the various sensations. Observe your body almost like you observed your cloth. You are also different from the body which you wear and which serves you throughout your life. Now observe your thoughts and your feelings. Maybe there's some discomfort with the exercise, it's unusual. Maybe there's some comfort. Maybe something of what happened yesterday or the last month is still with you like a faint echo. It's there, the mood and the feeling of joy or hope. Or also sadness is something which is resolved or unresolved. Everything is equally important. Just observe what is there. Observe it like you would observe clouds passing in the sky. You can observe your thoughts and emotions. That means you are also different from them. Now focus on your heart area. While you inhale, notice how your heart space expands and somehow seems to become lighter. And whenever you exhale, notice how you become more free from any thoughts or feelings. Breathe it away, so to say. Whenever you breathe in, feel a little bit lighter. When you breathe out, feel a little bit more relaxed. Focus your attention on the heart area. It is here where the spiritual self resides. It is a part of God. It is here where your essential self is present. I will say a few affirmations. Try to be with them. I am an eternal spiritual soul. I am different from my body. I am different from my thoughts. I'm different from my feelings. In essence, I'm full of knowledge and bliss. full of love and a child of eternity. From this space, we will now say a very powerful mantra. We will sing it. It means, lead me from the temporary to the eternal. From darkness to light. And from death to immortality. I will request you to open your eyes and look at the screen, but stay within that space. Remain internal.
Oh, will now chant the mono syllable Om. We will try to make a sound vibration in which we can in a way absorb ourselves or immerse ourselves. Please take a deep inhale and on an exhale, a deep inhale and on an exhale, the Om. Please take your hands and rub them together. Bring them to your eyes like you do when you do palming. And then bring them away from your eyes and look into your palms. See the lines as if you see them for the first time. In this way, slowly come back to room awareness. Thank you so much. I noticed that you were sincerely trying. I noticed that the singing was just maybe a little bit too abrupt from the meditative space to the meditative singing space. We are discussing about the roots, and I would just like you to turn to your neighbor and just discuss with them a little bit how it went, just very briefly, 2 minutes, how it went for you, or what went on for you. That is maybe better, and then we will close the session afterwards. Yeah, please start now. Find the neighbor. It's important to do some reflection. I know some of us would just like to sit and be for themselves, but reflection is very important. Very, very much. I'm trying to stay with this session in the time frame so that everything else which you will listen to is not rushed. My dear friends, dear teachers, dear people, really, if you adopt a little program, either with meditation, with reading sacred texts, singing kirtan in your life, just a little program, you will, which nourishes your roots, you will see miracles unfold in your life. They will especially unfold in your classroom. The children will immediately feel it and see it, where the teacher is coming from inside of him. Nourishing the roots is something which we do privately. We have to ultimately motivate also people to do it on their own. It can't be forced. Because the person, you can only force external activities, but not internal ones. One has to awaken something like a self-motivation within people. But really, nourishing those roots is the basis for raising our consciousness. And according to our consciousness, our whole life, our entire perception, our sense of identity, which will again inform our actions, our feelings, even our dreams, all this will be is dependent on nourishing the roots or raising our consciousness, of filling it, or and so on. And it's so important. I will end with a little story. I will tell it in the cryptic way where the listener has to engage with the text. Once there was a guru. He was meeting with his disciples under a palm tree. They met at dawn. Once a disciple noted, when he looked up, that there was a stone in the crown of the palm tree. And when the teaching was over, he went to his guru and said, "O venerable teacher, what is the stone doing on top of the tree?" And he noted how his teacher became emotionally moved. A tear rolled down and left a streak on his cheek. "This tree is my guru," said the teacher. "Listen. In my childhood, there was a forest of palm trees. I was young and immature. My growth was not quick enough. And the other children joked with me. 'Oh, small one,' they said. Whenever I went to this forest of trees, I noted this palm which you see now, which grew so strong, which was for its age already so developed, but I was not. And all my anger, all my vengeful feelings came up, and I decided I will stifle the growth of this palm tree. I took a stone as heavy as I could lift, and placed it on the crown of the palm tree, which was at that time small in comparison to now. Every month I came to my palm tree, saw it struggling with the weight. I saw how it bended down, I saw how its growth was stultified. The first year it came towards the ground, the second year it came more to the ground, the third year it started to rise a little bit more, the fourth year it rose more, then the fifth year it rose even more, and then came a storm. The storm blew away the cottages in the village. The storm uprooted most of the other palm trees, not my palm tree. Now this palm tree is the only palm tree left from the forest. Why? Because the suffering which was inflicted upon it, that heavy storm which became its burden, forced it to grow deep roots, and therefore it survived the attacks from outside. This tree is my guru, because I have learned from it to grow deep roots. I want to encourage you to pursue this idea more. See what this means for you. Maybe inquire more about spiritual practices which are appropriate for you at this stage of your life. But in whatever way you think you can do it, please deepen your roots. It will be very good for your private life. And it is, after all, we can only give what we have. And spiritual insights need to come from the heart. And I want to say, I'm sure that all of you have spiritual insights, otherwise you would not have chosen Avanti School, which is different from other schools. So, and everyone has it. It's as normal as a heart, but it is often as neglected as the heart. We humans are sometimes a little shallow, little, not much. Good. This is it. You have survived your first session with Sachidananda Swami. Congratulations. Thank you so much. And I want to see now, we are a little late in time. Would you like to ask questions now, or would we? Is there something on your tongue, or should we do it in the beginning of the next session? I also think, because everyone looks very meditative. Good. So how do we proceed from here?
Thank you very much for that first session.